From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, an earth-shaking, or earth-moving anyway, story growing in Central America. Ground has been broken, ceremonially at least, on a massive new canal across Nicaragua. It would cut from the Atlantic to the Pacific. It could change the face of shipping. It could challenge the Panama Canal. It is supported by Nicaragua's leader, Daniel Ortega. It is bankrolled either by a mysterious Chinese billionaire or the Chinese government itself, depending on whom you ask. It's a mysterious, contentious, amazing story still unfolding this hour on Point, the Nicaragua Canal. The New Yorker's John Lee Anderson joins us in the hour, as does Jonathan Watts, a Latin America correspondent for The Guardian. Here was Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega speaking at a canal groundbreaking ceremony at the end of December, interpreted here by Euronews. This is on the Pacific coast with the Chinese benefactor Wang Jing alongside.
With the wealth that a project of this type generates, we will have greater possibilities of completely eradicating poverty.
Completely eradicating poverty in the second poorest country in Central America after Haiti there. Daniel Ortega speaking at a groundbreaking ceremony. Joining me from Granada, Nicaragua, is Sarah Van Noot, independent journalist. She's in Nicaragua covering all things canal. Sarah, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
Is anything happening on the ground? Are there shovels, bulldozers, earth being moved?
According to the government, they have started the construction of one of the access roads on the Pacific side. According to one of the local press stories, there's not that many people or machines working right now, but the plan is for the first trimester of the year for them to get the access road up and going.
They're talking about this being complete by 2020. Describe just the scale of it, Sarah. 172 miles, three times the length of the Panama Canal, very wide to handle the biggest ships on Earth, and of course many of those come out of China. Just give us a sense of the scale of intervention that this would mean in the physical landscape of Nicaragua.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, and I think it's hard for me to wrap my brain around, and it's extremely hard for local people to understand. There's very little industry on that scale, if any, anywhere in the country. There's certainly nothing like the size of the tankers they're talking about coming through Lake Nicaragua currently. So it would be a massive, massive undertaking anywhere, but it's especially impactful in a country of this size. And this level of development.
So describe Lake Nicaragua. So you've got a freshwater lake in inland in the country, and what, this canal would use that as part of its passage across this very wide swath of Central America, much, much wider than Panama, where the canal traverses there.
Right. This is the largest lake in Central America. It's a huge lake. And it's actually, I think, about 8% of the total land area of the country of Nicaragua. It would have a massive impact on the lake. That's where I've been mostly reporting from so far. They would need a lot of water, of course, for the lock. There's a lock planned on each coast. And they would need to dredge the lake. It's a very shallow lake. It's only about 15 meters average depth. And they would need to dredge it to a depth of 30 meters. So that has scientists very, very concerned.
And the rest of the path, how much of the path of this canal have you been able to travel, Sarah?
You know, I haven't traveled very much of it. And one reason is because it's very sensitive. A lot of these areas have become sensitive, at least for foreign press. There's been a lot of reporting done by local press, but there has been some intimidation of foreign press over the last few months. So I've been focusing on the island of Ometepe, which is in the middle of the lake, which would also see big impacts.
Here's a little sound of Elizabeth Del Carmen. She lives on the Pacific coast of Nicaragua, worried about what's coming. Nicaraguans very dialed into this now. She spoke with The Guardian's Jonathan Watts, who will join us in a moment from Rio de Janeiro, saying here that she isn't ready to give up her land for the Nicaragua Canal.
She says, I've been worried because I don't want to leave for another place. These lands have been a gift from God. Who knows where they're going to move us? It might be somewhere more dangerous. And, of course, many, many would be displaced by this canal. Sarah Van Note, please stand by there in Granada, Nicaragua. Joining us as well now from neighboring or nearby Colombia is John Lee Anderson, staff writer for The New Yorker, author of last year's big piece, The Comandante's Canal. John Lee Anderson, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be with you.
What is known about Mr. Wang Jing, the Chinese billionaire who is saying that he's doing this on his own hook, that he's bringing his money and putting private financing together to build this thing? What's known about him? Where did he come from? How did he make his money?
Well, very little is known about him. I spoke with quite a few China watchers and colleagues who'd lived in China and were quite fascinated by him themselves. I should just say before I begin that All of them assured me privately, and this also included people in the Obama administration, most of whom wanted to speak rather discreetly, that they had no doubt that Wang Jing, if he was not sort of a cutout for China, was most certainly very well connected. And that he's essentially a peddler of influence. He's one of these new sort of gazillionaires who've come out of the mix, out of the ferment in China, emerging as extraordinarily wealthy and freebooting entrepreneur, with contacts in various parts of the Chinese superstructure. But he came. He's a man in his early 40s. He says he made his money in Cambodia in mining, in gold mining, which that in itself is a fairly freebooting atmosphere, as
yes.
you can imagine.
Yes.
And in traditional medicine, and then a few years ago got a contract for a telecommunications contract, which China has been pushing, and he got it for very little money, and within no time at all, he was listed as a billionaire on various financial markets around the world. And then, 2 years ago, he essentially appeared in Managua, evidently after having been met by Daniel Ortega, the eternal president, one of his sons, who invited him to come to Nicaragua and to open up business there. And he was initially given a contract for his Chinwei telecommunications. There's a building that was given to him that's never been occupied. And very soon after that, it became clear that the government was facilitating a deal in which he would become the latest in a long historic series of people given an extraordinary deal, with effectively Nicaragua from coast to coast in a 50-year renewable concession to build a canal across the country. And I've spoken with people who know him and who've been with him and who regard him as an operator. And everyone that I've spoken to, those against the canal and both those for the canal, are not sure what will happen in the end. But there's no doubt that this man, who's been given such a sweeping concession, will exploit to some degree that concession. He's been effectively given the rights, rubber stamped by Nicaragua's Congress, to build a canal, roads, railroads, oil refineries, satellite cities, ports, pretty much anything he wants, in a latitude that he chooses from coast to coast. So, anybody with that sort of concession is probably going to make use of it. I just want to add one thing here.
Yes.
I have been to both coasts, and I was searching essentially for Chinese about a year ago when I was doing this piece. At the time, this was more of a rumored thing, and I did run into them. I ran into them in both coasts. The first time, I think they were found in country, and there was a great deal of disquiet about the fact that I had met them. And in the case of an experience I had on the Atlantic coast, the people working with the Chinese called from Hong Kong, so say called from there to Hong Kong, and from Hong Kong they called to the New Yorker magazine,
okay,
protesting my behavior in breaking into their, you know, their IRI there. And it was one of the reasons I was never able to meet Wang Jing, was because there was this kind of force field around him. There was a lot of disquiet, and I know that they've really clamped down on other journalists sort of wandering around the country trying to see what's going on.
Sarah Van Note, you know that directly right now. Stand by, John Lee. Sarah, you've seen directly the Nicaraguan government saying, no, you're not going to cover this, Sarah.
Yeah, well, luckily I personally haven't experienced that at this point, but in the days immediately following the official inauguration, there were several instances of crackdowns on foreign journalists reporting on the canal, one being actually a photojournalist who was deported. She was picked up when she was covering a protest on the eastern shore of the lake and taken to Managua, held overnight in a cell, and put on a plane back to Belgium the next morning. So that's been the most dramatic example. But there have also been reporters who've been stopped and questioned at length by police as they've been especially attempting to report from the Pacific Coast. There's definitely a feeling of unease, not only among, you know, local citizens who've also experienced, repression, they would say.
Sarah, hold that thought. We'll come back and look what that might be. Sarah Van Note in Nicaragua. John Lee Anderson with The New Yorker joining us from Colombia. We're talking this hour about the big push for a massive new canal across Central America. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the big push for a massive new canal across Central America, not the Panama Canal, but a Chinese-built canal across Nicaragua. The formal groundbreaking took place in December, but there's still a lot of mystery about what would be one of the world's biggest engineering projects in history. We've been joined by John Lee Anderson, staff writer for The New Yorker. He's been writing and reporting on this for a year and more. Joins us today from Colombia. Sarah Van Note is with us as well, independent journalist covering all things canal out of Nicaragua, with us from Granada, Nicaragua, today. We'll hear in a moment from Jonathan Watts with The Guardian. He's been looking a lot at this as well and has brought tape out of Nicaragua of what Nicaraguans think about it. His Nereida Baladares, she owns a hotel and shop in San Miguelito on the shore of Lake Nicaragua, the huge freshwater lake not far from the Pacific. She spoke with Jonathan Watts about her hopes for the canal. Hope it brings a lot of benefits, she says, both for our businesses and also for the people of San Miguelito and all Nicaragua. Not everybody is so sure. Novin Sombariba is a tour guide in Ometepe. This is the largest island in the middle of Lake Nicaragua. Spoke with Watts also, saying he doesn't want a canal built across the big lake.
En nuestro lago va a sufrir demasiados daños.
Our lake is going to suffer too much damage because they're going to dynamite the lake bed, the fish are going to die, the tourists aren't going to have any reason to come and enjoy here anymore. John Lee Anderson in Colombia, Sarah Van Note, stand by. Lots of questions and callers. Here's Kayvon. Antonio's calling from Miami, Florida. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you? I've been keeping an eye on this for a while. We have a lot of Nicaraguans in Miami, and
yes,
I think they're also concerned about Lago Cocibolca, which is, I think, is the local name for Lake Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is there's a river. I mean, this seems to be like a Chinese jobs program where they get the Nicaraguan government as co-partners, and of course they will have personal interests in this. But I'm not sure why we need a second canal. And then the other thing I wanted to ask is, what will be the effect on the Caribbean? There's a river that comes out from the lake that empties out into the Caribbean. And what will be the effect on Caribbean ecology from all the runoff? And the other thing is people in the United States also need to think, is that our government turns its back on Nicaragua, they're going to go to where they are, you know, they can get opportunity. And if the Chinese bring it, you know, the Chinese need jobs programs. Their people are in Panama and everything. And this is a huge one.
Kevin, let us pick it up with John Lee Anderson first to you on the environmental impact. I mean, as you report, this is a huge amount of construction planned. Kind of mind-boggling. More cement would go in here for years and would go into all the rest of Central America combined. They're talking new airports, new ports, satellite cities, oil pipelines, steel and cement mills, new railroad. What about the environmental impact? What's known, John Lee Anderson?
Well, I mean, you know, just as your caller pointed out, and the young woman in Granada, there's a great deal of concern amongst environmentalists about everything from silt within the lakes, which will destroy the local ecology, the possibility of salination of the freshwater lake, the largest freshwater lake in the region, the destruction of jungle and virgin rainforest in the, not to mention the autonomous homeland of the Creoles and Rama Indians, who were granted this land constitutionally and who've been ignored in the concession. And then, of course, off the Caribbean coast is a very, very special reef ecology off the Nicaraguan coast. It's very virgin and very fragile, and considering how much destruction has been done elsewhere, there's people all around the region very concerned. Now, I did meet environmentalists who've been hired as part of the environmental impact plan that Wang Jing he obligated himself to do, you know, and he's paying for this, of course, and he did hire reputable firms, but, you know, there's a bit of a conflict of interest issue here, I think. And a way to illustrate it is just what happened to me. I was standing there at the mouth of the Brito River, which is on the Pacific
side,
where the canal is supposed to come out. Mm-hmm. And I saw a number of a few locals. I mean, it's a very poor place, just a hard scrabble huts and mangy dogs and fishing canoes, really, mm-hmm. and an otherwise virgin coast. And I saw what looked like university-educated people there, about six or seven men. And, you know, we looked at each other, and I walked up to one, and he said that they were studying the turtle, you know, the sea turtles, which, as we all know, are endangered everywhere. And,
yep.
And they'd been studying them for some time to see what sort of numbers they were. And he told me that they were less than everybody had thought. And I said, so you're working for the Grand Canal, are you? You're doing the environmental impact. And he mm-hmm. said, yes. And I said, a little provocatively, well, you would say that, wouldn't you? At which point I said I was a journalist, and he backed off, and they all said that they could not speak to me any further. That same company, which is out of London, an environmental impact company, which is, you know, paid millions of dollars in order to hire scientists from around the region, from the UK, from Colombia, from Argentina, from all over, to do this environmental impact company, were under an oath of silence. They refused to speak with the press. They were the same people who called Hong Kong when I stumbled into their camp on the Caribbean side and, you know, essentially tried to get me arrested. So I have to say, you know, sadly, this tends to be the case. You may be a reputable professional, but if you're earning your money from someone, you tend to be more loyal to your to yes. your employer than perhaps you are to your principals. And I think that could be what has happened here. So I fear that whatever environmental impact plan they come out with will be vitiated by those sorts of concerns. After all, this is a job for people, professionals, in a difficult world where they're going to be paid, you know, fairly significant amounts of money over a fairly significant amount of their careers. And so, you know, it's
not like it's the independent EPA coming in to do this. He's hiring his own.
No, it's not.
We have a little tape of Wang Jing, the Chinese billionaire behind the Nicaragua Canal Project. Here he was talking with Reuters in May of last year, saying his company was making sure the canal would not negatively affect Nicaragua's environment.
HKND has nearly 100 workers in Nicaragua doing things like on-site feasibility research, especially environmental protection. Many people worry Lake Nicaragua will be affected by the canal. I understand this concern. We use scientific research, internationally recognized research methods, to create models and show that there will be no adverse effects.
But try and probe into exactly who he is, exactly where the money comes from, exactly what's going on, and you run up against a wall. Sarah Van Note has run up against some of that. She's reporting out of Grenada, Nicaragua, on the canal. John Lee Anderson has looked a lot at this. Joining us as well right now, today in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, is Jonathan Watts. He's Latin American correspondent for The Guardian. Spent 9 years interestingly reporting from China for The Guardian. Now he's in Latin America. Ran a big piece in The Guardian, Land of Opportunity and Fear, along the route of Nicaragua's giant new canal. Jonathan Watts, thank you for joining us. You've traveled a lot of this terrain. Can you picture in your mind's eye what it would look like if this all comes to completion, Jonathan?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah,
I dread to think what it will look like if it's finished. I traveled along most of the route in early December before the groundbreaking ceremony, and some of the route, particularly on the Caribbean side, is absolutely spectacular. There's two of the biggest biosphere reserves in Central America, the Serra Silva Nature Reserve and the Indio Mayas Biosphere Reserve. And if this project goes ahead, they will be cut in two by not only a canal, but by big fences on either side of the canal, possibly a railroad running beside it, and in addition, maybe an oil pipeline. And the area where the canal is expected to come out into the Caribbean is a place called Punta Gorda. This is just spectacularly beautiful. I had to get there by boat, by a speedboat coming down from Bluefields. It took about a couple of hours to do it. And for the last hour, we only saw one other boat. And the only other thing we saw at all in the sea was a pod of dolphins. And yet, to build this project around Punta Gorda, it will be necessary to build a huge new port, to do dredging, to cut through some of the forest there. And I think what you'll see, not just there, but all along the route, is a country being cut in half. And that has a huge impact on wildlife. This is supposed to be the Mesoamerican channel for a wildlife channel, so that tapirs and jaguars and other endangered creatures can travel from the north to the south and vice versa, so they can migrate. But they won't be able to do that if there is this huge fence, this huge concrete barrier. And even though the plans allow for two eco-bridges across the canal, I think that's hardly going to be enough over a canal that is, as you say, three times longer than the Panama Canal.
Jonathan Watts, can you explain the economics of this to us? There's the Panama Canal. Boats can go through it. It's in the process of right now of undergoing a $5 billion modernization that will let the new generation of new Panamax huge container ships go through there. So what's the need or the demand for a new canal, the Nicaragua Canal?
Well, even when the Panama Canal is enlarged, it still will not be able to take the very biggest ships that are on the world seas, the heavy bulk carriers. These ships are like 30% bigger than anything else, which means for a carrier, it means 30% an improvement in costs.
Yes.
And theoretically, 30% less carbon emissions. So if you can build a rival canal that can take these bigger ships, it should, say, the planners of the canal, offer a very economic alternative. But this is questioned, and one of the things that is currently missing is an economic feasibility study. We haven't had that yet. We also haven't had the final report of the environmental impact assessment. So I think there are still a lot of unanswered questions about this canal.
What would it do to the Panama Canal? Would that still be a moneymaker for Panama if you get this giant, much wider new canal through the canal through Nicaragua?
I think what you'd see is more competition. And the Panama Canal has, of course, proved itself over many years. It's a very slick operation. It has a strong customer base. I would imagine that the new canal will have to attract new business, not just from the bigger ships, but they'll probably, given the Chinese backing, try to encourage more ships that are providing materials to China to use this canal. But at the moment, this is still quite a way off, and the focus at the moment is very much on the environment and whether the project will go ahead, whether the financing can be put in place in time.
Sarah Van Noort, in Nicaragua, we've got lots of response here from our listeners. Charlie says online, a very impressive project, and I hope it works for them and the world. It will reduce travel time, costs due to a second canal and generate jobs for the locals. We heard tape of Daniel Ortega saying there, essentially, this will lead to eradication of poverty in Nicaragua. What about the economic impact that's anticipated, Sarah?
Yeah, it was interesting when I traveled to the island of Ometepe in the middle of Lake Nicaragua last week. I kind of expected there would be, even opposition on all fronts. But, many people, about half of the people in Nicaragua, live off of less than a dollar a day. And so wage work is extremely hard to come by. And there is a promise of jobs, and that's a huge selling point for a lot of people. Even fishermen that I talked to said, we'll give up our fishing nets and we'll go to work. If we are given paid jobs, we value that more than the fishing. So for many people, that brings very, very, that holds a lot of promise for them, for sure.
But John Lee Anderson, I've read reports that there would be perhaps tens of thousands of Chinese laborers brought in to work on the construction of the canal.
Well, that's right. I mean, even amongst the business, the business sector in Managua, and I should say that Daniel Ortega, the erstwhile socialist revolutionary firebrand of the 1980s, has reemerged. He still speaks like a revolutionary with a kind of Christian component added. He's born again. But now his greatest allies are the people who most opposed him in the 80s, and that is the private sector. Who were brought on board with a trip to China, everything laid on. I talked to quite a few of them, and it's interesting the degree to which they have scrambled to get on board, and amongst them there is some dissent over those who think that they're going to be cut out by the Chinese. And indeed, at least one of the companies that's worked with Wang Jing on some of the, one of the contracts, let's just say, have told me privately about their concerns about the lack of transparency in the granting of licenses and of concessions, that will subsidiary bids for things like the road work, the cement plant that's planned, the steel plant that's planned, port work, this kind of thing. Chinese companies are being favored. And part of the initial play made by Wang Jing publicly, anyway, along with his environmental assurances, very sweeping, it has to be said, were that this would be very inclusive and would be good not just for China, but for Nicaragua's labor force, its companies, and regional companies as well. This doesn't appear to be happening right now, but you're talking about a fairly small group of people used to monopolies in a country like Nicaragua. And while I spoke to some people who were still doubtful, most people were scrambling to somehow get their piece of the pie. And yet there is fear that if you read between the lines, even of what Wang Jing says, the same kind of thing has happened in quite a few places in Africa. They say, well, we need quite a bit of skilled labor. So, will the Nicaraguans, are they trained to drive those very, very big trucks that you see in these, mega construction projects and so forth, or that can operate machinery that only skilled people who've learned these abroad have done? There's a kind of growing, I think, assumption, and I think it's not unfounded that Nicaraguans will basically provide, brute labor at the very bottom end of the strata.
John Lee Anderson, we're up against a break here. Please stand by with the New Yorker. It's great to have you. Jonathan Watts with The Guardian out of Rio. Sarah Van Note in Nicaragua. We're looking at the big push for a massive new canal across Central America. Listeners, what do you think? Good idea? And what about the strategic implications for the United States of a Chinese-built mega canal in Central America? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
We hope you are enjoying this podcast. A special thank you, Audible.com would like to offer you a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Audible has over 150,000 titles, fiction, nonfiction, bestsellers, every category imaginable. They also have tons of exclusive content you can't get anywhere else. Just go to audible.com/onpoint. Choose a free book and listen. It's that easy. Go to audible.com/onpoint. That's audible.com/onpoint. Get started today.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with a big push for a massive new canal across Central America, not the Panama Canal, but a Chinese-built canal across Nicaragua. Here's Juan Felipe Cardenas. He lives on the Pacific coast of Nicaragua, telling Jonathan Watts when he was there late last year that he's worried about the promises of relocation and compensation for his land. Juan Felipe Cardenas in Nicaragua, if the Chinese come and said, we're going to pay you there, take it, and more, we're going to build you a house over there, then I'd accept it. But we're fighting to stop the canal, he says. Our lake will suffer too much, and I'm not the only one who thinks like this. I've asked a lot of people. No, we're not going with the Chinese, he says. We're not going with the Chinese. Well, he may well be. Sarah, you've seen protests here. There were protests even around the time of the groundbreaking.
Right. There have been and there continue to be ongoing protests, especially in the eastern lakeshore communities, San Miguelito, Nueva Guinea, most recently, just 2 days ago. It's the beginning of the school year here in Nicaragua, and families from 30 communities around San Miguelito said they would not send their children to school this year in protest to continued police and military presence there. So in some of the communities that are the most mobilized and organized, they have regular protests. And, you know, there's a lot of mistrust. One thing that came up in the press recently and actually happened on the island of Ometepe while I was there was people were accusing the government of sending fake medical brigades to actually collect information about who was supporting the canal or not. And so one of the communities I was reporting from, they prevented the medical brigade from entering their community. So there's definitely strong opposition.
You will have this canal. Kevin in Omaha, Nebraska. Kevin, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. I read an article on this project, I think, in National Geographic. And my only question is, what kind of pull does the government have to try and sway Nicaragua? I see it as just way too big a project, and it's got the smell of big China all over it.
Well, what government? Do you mean Nicaragua's government, Kevin?
The United States government, Nicaragua's government is all over it. I mean, it's big China behind it, and the Nicaraguan people will be treated worse than, look at how China treats its own people on a big project like this. This project is huge.
Kevin, let me hold that question right there and get one more right here. Tulsa, Oklahoma, Bob is calling. Bob, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yeah, this is going to be an economic and ecological disaster. And our government should be doing everything in its power to prevent the influence of China here. We messed up in the past with Nicaragua during the Reagan administration, and I think China's influence there is reminiscent of that era, Negroponte, et cetera, et cetera.
Ecological and economic disaster. Bob, thanks for your call. Jonathan Watts, what about the U.S. interest in this? I mean, at one time, way back when, before the Panama Canal, I think they did look at Nicaragua. I think it was sort of runner-up for that construction. Is the U.S. playing any role here? We don't have much of a relationship with Nicaragua. Do we have anything to say about it? What about the strategic implications? I mean, here we've got William James writes us online. He says, you do realize that the Chinese are preparing contingency plans to use this shipping lane for their warships, airships coming online against the U.S.? Well, I have no idea. But what about geopolitics here, Jonathan?
Well, of course, this is a project of immense geostrategic significance. And for that reason, as you rightly point out, there have been several previous proposals going all the way back to the first Spanish conquistadors to build a canal through the Nicaraguan Isthmus. The British tried to do it. The Americans tried to do it. And now the Chinese, it seems, are actually going to go ahead and do it. As you discussed earlier, there are a lot of questions about the man behind it, Wang Jing, and whether he is, as he claims to be, just a private businessman, or as is likely that he at least has the support of the Chinese government, if not actually representing the Chinese government. There's been a report in one of Nicaragua's major newspapers claiming that he is actually connected to the People's Liberation Army. And I think on a more extreme side of views about what this could mean is the idea that the canal will prove a kind of a Trojan horse for the Chinese military interests to get more of a foothold in Central America. I don't think that any evidence of that so far, it's all supposition, but certainly I would imagine the United States government is looking at this very closely. So far, there have not been any expressions of opposition to the plan, but the U.S. government has said they would like to see more transparency. And I think, you know, if the canal is going to go ahead, which looks likely from everybody I spoke to in Nicaragua, then I think it would be in everyone's interest for it to be built as well as possible and as with as little environmental impact as possible. And for that to happen, I think the more expertise that can be brought to bear on this project, the better.
John Lee Anderson, we've got listeners rumbling about the Monroe Doctrine online here. You know, stay out of our backyard. The U.S. pulled out of Panama Canal Zone in 1999. Would this mega canal in Nicaragua be a Chinese naval base in waiting? Is anything being done about it?
And there are people who are afraid of that. I was assured by people connected to, how should we say, the military establishment of the United States, that it's not at all a concern of theirs. That if this is sort of secondhand, but quote unquote, roughly, if the Chinese want to spend $50 billion to build a canal in Central America that we can use in time of war, that's fine. You know, that's great. Let them do it. Let them spend the money and not us. But in time of war, we will commandeer the canal. They will have no choice about it. That's a kind of more or less direct quote.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting. I was for the longest time intrigued why, as Jonathan pointed out, why the administration hadn't, you know, come out and said anything more explicit.
Yeah.
And I came to the conclusion after talking with a lot of people that essentially this was waiting to see. This is, you know, this kind of inscrutability of the Chinese side in terms of its ultimate intentions. As long as the Americans go along with the idea as it's been presented, that is, this is a private initiative, then they really have no political means to or ground on which to argue against it. How could you argue against an economic bonanza for countries poor as Nicaragua,
yeah,
especially in an era in which you claim not to be carrying the big stick in your backyard anymore? And
yeah,
so I think they're waiting to see. At the moment, as John said, They're merely expressing some disquiet about transparency. This is how it begins. And I think if it emerges that the Chinese state, the People's Liberation Army or whatever, is more behind this than meets the eye initially, it can still be dealt with as a situation where it's Wang Jing's withdrawal or the scrapping of the plans for the canal are over something else, over corruption, over transparency, over a company going bankrupt, and it's not about China versus the United States.
But you,
I think that's the point. They do not want this to be about China and the United States, you know, saber-rattling in the region.
But you're reporting hearing, in war, it's ours, U.S. defense-related people saying, oh, sort of build it, and we will come. Frank in Norfolk, Virginia. Frank, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
That's right.
Hello, Frank, you're on.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing this open conversation. I don't know why we're talking about this. The Panama Canal was built by the U.S. with government intervention.
Sure.
And they're talking about the Chinese, bringing Chinese people. We sent Americans to work there. George Washington Goethals from Belgium, an American citizen, went there to build that. If the Chinese are going to build it, of course they're going to bring Chinese engineers, scientists, and let them do that. That is their problem. Let's not meddle around. Let's talk about the problems here in Virginia, where we are exploiting charcoal. We are creating pollution. We are destroying this state. We are being paid. So let's talk about that.
Frank, I think I've got the gist of it. Jonathan Watts, you know, looking back in history and saying, boy, when the U.S. was large and in charge, it rolled right into Panama, did what it pleased. Why are we, you know, in a tizzy about China building a canal in Central America now? Let Nicaragua think about it, deal with it.
I completely agree. I think, given the record of the past few centuries, it is pretty rich for the United States to say to Nicaragua, well, you're not allowed to let Chinese interests come along and build a canal, when obviously they did the same thing in Panama a long time before. I think that's not really the issue. Mm-hmm. I think if this is a project that can be, if the people behind this project can persuade people that the canal will be available for anybody to use, that anybody can invest in it, that it will be a truly international canal, which is what the government of Nicaragua are saying. The advisor to Daniel Ortega indeed said that to me when I spoke to him. He said, we want this to be a rainbow coalition of investors. We want everyone on board. We want everyone to use this. So if that's the case, I don't think it is a problem that it's a Chinese business person who's building it, or even that the Chinese engineers who are very specialized, that they will come across and build it. So I agree with in that regard. I think the question is, though, that we don't know enough about the people behind it, that the company that's building it, Wang Jing's company, HKND, it was formed just 2 weeks before the project was pushed through the Nicaraguan parliament. And I think it's very hard to access them, to talk to them, and as we've heard, the environmental reports have not been made public. So I think the key is, if this is going to be a project that everybody can accept, there has to be a great deal more transparency about who's behind it and who's going to be able to use it.
The Americas here getting a taste of the Chinese century, maybe. Of course, huge projects been going on for some time now all over Africa. Now in Central America, it's on the drawing board, and maybe more. Azure is calling from Burlington, Vermont. Azure, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me. A canal that cuts across from the Pacific all the way to the Atlantic is obviously going to have both social and environmental impact.
Yes.
Now, the question at hand is, what is the real cost, the true cost of having a company put this type of canal? Now,
have you looked at that yourself, Azure? Have you paid some attention to that?
Yes, as a board member of the Fundación Eutrópica, which is a Costa Rican organization, we've looked at the impact of the previous plans that were coming through Lake Nicaragua and through the San Juan River, which goes straight into the Atlantic. And there, just on wetlands, for example, the value of the ecosystem services that 1 acre of wetland gives is up to $65,000 per acre per year. Per hectare. So there's, you cannot put the, sorry for the cliche, the cart in front of the ox.
But Azure is a very poor country. It's very poor. Daniel Ortega is saying we can eradicate poverty in Nicaragua with this canal.
For that, it would need to be something that is discussed transparently. I want to see the books. The burden of proof is both on the Chinese company and a third-party panel of independent organizations, including economic experts, that can look at this kind of project and determine whether it's the best thing for Nicaragua. Further, remember, the watersheds that are going to be affected, that flow both to the north and the south, also need to be considered. Like, a lot of the water that's going to be affected is going to flow straight into our Costa Rican borders. What is the impact on the coral reefs that are outside? This is not just a matter of the impact on Nicaragua and their social environmental circumstance. It's an impact on the region. It's an impact on the global economy as seen through a true cost lens of ecological economy.
Azure, I'm so glad you called. The neighbors there wanting to know. Sarah Van Note, any sign of that kind of transparency emerging here on the environmental front, on the economic front, sort of just open books? It's a giant project, one of the biggest in history. Here's what it means, world. Any sign of that, Sarah?
I guess the short answer would be not in the near term. I've spoken to many scientists locally and internationally who are very concerned that the so-called environmental impact assessment could not possibly be done even in the time that they are saying it's going to be done, which is in the next few months, but to conduct one with the true magnitude, taking into account of the country and all of its resources, would take several years. And the other point that some of the scientists made, similar to your caller just now, was that, again, the resources of the lake alone, in terms of an access to water for Nicaragua and for all of Central America, is a far greater value than any potential canal plan.
Lake Nicaragua, very, very large there, right near the Pacific coast. John Lee Anderson, we just have 20 seconds here. What's your guess? Five-year construction, we're told that means it could be done in 2020 or soon thereafter. Do you think it will actually happen, John Lee?
I sort of do think it will happen, but or at least some version of it. I think it's too far along now to go back, but that's just an instinct. I don't know if they'll make those the 2020 year, but I don't know that that's that important.
When you get to this scale, maybe it's not. It looks like here it comes. John Lee Anderson with The New Yorker, joining us from Colombia. Sarah Van Note with us from Granada, Nicaragua. And Jonathan Watts with The Guardian in Rio. Thank you all for joining us. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.